Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. This is season 2, episode 6, and I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. I actually did great last week. I hit a trifecta that you and your expert handicapping, that's why you are an expert.
Yeah, right.
Helped me with this, but it was at Woodbine, which I know you didn't want to handicap this week, but
I didn't.
But it was a kind of a combination. It was a combination of I like Chantel Sutherland. I think a lot of people do, and she was on a 2-year old, and you had said to me that she is great on 2-year olds, right?
I did. She's a quite attractive female jockey.
Well, that too, but
And yet she does have some skills, and her skills, from a horse racing standpoint, are that I think she's good with young horses, and I think she's also good with long distance turfers. What she's not real strong with, in my opinion, is finishing on horses and strong rides. I just off the cuff had said that to you, because it was a maiden special race. Maiden special weight race, and you did cash a ticket. So
I went. Your sister, another fine handicapper. It seems like
yes.
It runs in the family.
Talked
about Dancing Doll. The first one was Cappy and Jewel, and Dancing Doll was the sire of Violent, right?
Violence, yes.
Violence, excuse me. And and then she also picked the Mad Slam number 4, and that dollar trifecta paid $335. So
yeah, that was a nice little sideshow to our.
It was a sideshow
to our handicapping. No, it was good. It was good. That was great.
It was fun. It just showed that you learn a lot from listening to what you do when you handicap.
No question about it. Yep. No, that's good, Dave. That's excellent.
So with that, let's open up the show here and visit our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. At the top of the page, you'll find all the ways to listen to us. Links are at the top. Click any way you like to listen to us. Be sure you join our Facebook group. The link is there as well. We're getting active in there. Take a look and post some comments about our show in Facebook there. You also can listen to us using the Amazon Echo. You ask Echo to play Off the Charts Horse Racing on TuneIn, and you'll hear the latest episode. Be sure you're following us on Twitter at Off the Charts HR, as Steve posts any late day changes and maybe some other picks he might find. He might even think about betting we would find. Who knows? And we have over 20,000 downloads. That's just incredible. Amazing. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Season 2 last week, episode 5 was over 400 times. Keep listening. We appreciate it. Thanks. This week's agenda will be last week's results. And then you were motivated just as of yesterday. We're talking to your friend Tim there with putting together a horse and leg segment on making money at the track. And we'll elaborate on in a minute here. And then, of course, we got some handicapping this week. You have 3 races, 1 at Keeneland and 2 at Belmont. So, go ahead and let's start with the results from last week.
Yeah, Dave. So, let's just quickly get to the summarization of last week. 5 stakes races, 1 top 2 pick winner that paid $8.40. That Johnny V horse did indeed wind up wiring the field. Out of those 5 races, we also had 2 top picks that ran second, both at pretty decent prices. Yep. Overall, 300 stakes, 130 top 2 pick winners. Our top 2 percentage has dropped to 43%. Has been coming down a little bit since our peak kind of at 45. So I'm hoping to kick it in gear here over these next few weeks as we head into Breeders' Cup, Dave. But, you know, for me, I tell you and other – other folks that, I hang around with as it relates to horse racing, as long as my horses are there, you're not going to win every race. You're not going to
can't,
but for me, I feel like I did a good job handicapping if my horses perform. There's a lot of racing luck. There's a lot of, knucklehead decisions made by the little guys that sit on top of the horses. And so there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But as long as my horses that I pick are performing and I feel like they have over the course of all these weeks, I feel like my horses are constantly right there. That's all I can ask for. So
absolutely.
So that's the summary of last week, Dave. Hopefully we'll find some some nice prices and some winners here in these three races that I'm going to look at from both Keeneland and Belmont.
Very good. All right. So let's move on to the horse nugget segment. And this is a great topic. I really am going to be interesting to hear what your take is on this. I think everybody wants to make money at the track, and that's why we go. I think most of the time, other than enjoying the sport itself. So you got a lot of great things you want to talk about and relates to making money and at the track. Tell us.
Yeah, Dave, you know, your statement just now is interesting. I'm not sure everyone wants to make money at the track.
I hope they do.
I'm not sure that that's why they're there.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. I mean, you and I both have a lot of associations with folks who just want the action. Their adrenaline rush is just, you know, betting on as many racetracks as possible and employing as many possible gimmicks as they can. And they don't really have a plan. And that's fine. Yeah, you go there, have fun. But both, don't be disappointed when you lose your $50 to $100 that you brought with you, because that style is not going to get it done. And, you know, from what I have observed. So
most cases.
Yep. So this, you know, this list of things, Dave, you know, making money at the track, like I'm, you know, some magic man that I, you know, I'm the only guy that's figured out how to make money at the track. but I have seen and I personally feel like I have kind of zoned in on what makes money at the track. So this is going to be kind of a consolidation of things that I've talked about before in various segments. Sure. Let's start with, to me, the most important thing. You've got to start to keep records of your wagers. You've got to keep records of what you bet, how much you bet, the type of bet that you made, and the conditions of the race. You've got to be able to start to do analysis around, are you better with sprints? Do you better when horses route? Do you do better with cheap horses, cheap claimers, or high price claimers? Are you better in stakes races? You've got to start to do some analysis around the data so that you can start to formulate a style, something that you count on as that you know can help you make money. When I talk about the types of conditions, you know, horses that are second time North America on the turf. You've heard me say that many times.
Many times.
Well, keep track of those. Keep track of those wagers. I'm telling you right now that I don't hit on every second North American turf horse that I bet, but over the course of time, I make money on that condition.
Yep.
And I know that because I keep track of it. So you've got to keep records. The second thing, and this was just a continuation of this text conversation I had with my friend Tim, who you know, who I own the horse with, and you know, there's your approach has to be consistent. You can't bet trifecta on race four and race five, play exactas, and then race six, play the pick three and trifectas. Pick an approach that fits your style and apply it. The shotgun approach, the trying everything, you want to talk about losing money. Just keep doing that.
You lose.
No chance. The other thing, and I've mentioned this before in other podcasts, focus on a circuit. And when I say a circuit,
don't bet on six tracks. It's crazy.
Well, you know, if you're going to focus on New York, then the New York tracks, then focus on the New York tracks and get a real feel for the trainers, the jockeys, the profiles of the type of past performances that are winning at those tracks. The very best handicappers I know, the guys that and gals who make the most money wagering at the racetrack, usually are focused on a circuit and do well on a circuit. I could use that lesson myself sometimes. As you know, I just happen to do really well in Southern California.
Yep.
And yet, you know, because it races late in the day here in the Midwest, I don't engage with it as much as I probably should. But when I'm done working and retired, Dave, and I have all the time in the world, that's probably where I'm going to spend my time. in terms of focusing on wagering. The other thing that a lot of handicappers don't do that is just, you know, something that I think good cappers do is they go back and they review the past performances post race. So when the race is over, they go back, they look at the horse that won and they go back in the past performances and they say, could I have bet that horse? And did I miss something? Is there something I should have seen that, you know, you've heard me before say, I can't believe I didn't have that, Dave. That, you know, that was a, you know, that was a Grand Motion horse, you know, in a stakes, in a shipper in a stakes race. Like, you know how aggravated I get when I miss some of those things that I really, you know, keep pretty good track of. So that would be the other thing that I would say, Dave, is that, you know, and to answer, you know, Tim was asking me last night about, you know, whether, you know, you felt you could be successful betting just show bets and you probably can, but you wouldn't know unless you had the, unless you tracked it. Like, how many show bets do you hit? Like, how good is your handicapping that you're often predicting the horse that's going to at least run in the top three positions? And and can you make money over time doing that? I can't answer that question for a handicapper. They have to answer it for themselves. And I'm telling you, the only way to do that is with records. Now, fortunately for me, I make my bets through TwinSpires. So in the TwinSpires application, it keeps track of all this stuff for me.
So
they just keep track of my bets and knows the tracks and the amounts and types and all those things that that help me, you know, prove out the things that I already suspect, which is that I do very well in multi-win race wagers. And I don't hit a lot of them, but the ones that I hit, I think I'm with, like, I think of the wagers I make in those rolling pick threes, pick fours, pick fives. I think I hit 7 or 8% of those a year, Dave. But that 7 and 8% makes it makes me profitable for the year.
Right.
So those are just, you know, some of my 2 cents worth on making money at the track, Dave.
No, I mean, like I said, you just you got to find a place and just jump into it. You can't expect it's going to be something immediate. I mean, you got to work hard at this. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it. Correct. So, some great tips. I think we really appreciate all the information you provided to us. So, let's move on and let's talk about the races you're going to handicap this week. You're going to start off at Keeneland. Keeneland's going for a little bit of a while here, and you have one race, and it's a graded stakes race, and this is actually the 9th race at Keeneland on Saturday. It's 1 1/8. It's a turf race. It's a grade one. It's the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup, and the purse is $500,000. It's for filly 3-year-olds. Give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So, you know, per our pre-podcast meeting, there's just not a whole lot of graded stakes races this weekend.
And Woodbine.
And you know, I'll be watching those ones at Woodbine. I just thought I would stick with some of the tracks and trainers, jocks that I know the best.
Right.
So let's take this 9th race at Keeneland, Dave. Let's make the one horse Nialetti our top selection, trained by Mark Johnston. Corey Lannery's the jockey, 5-1 the morning line. This horse is racing in its second North American start, but not back to back. You can see raced in that Beverly D at Arlington Park on Arlington Million Day.
I remember that horse.
The note that I've made here, Dave, is this horse might show some speed, and there's not a whole lot of speed in this race. You know, as I read through some of the commentary here on these races overseas, you know, I see stuff like track the leaders, close up, close up, close up. So I know that this horse can race on or near the front, and it is out of the one hole. And regardless, Lannery's going to get a great ground saving trip, and he's a really good jockey with those types of horses. So at 5-1 with the rail and a race that I don't think he has a whole lot of early speed, I'm going to make the one horse Dave Nialetti our top selection here in this 9th race at Keeneland on Saturday. Our second selection will be the morning line favorite, the 8 Rushing Fall. Chad Brown trains Javier Castellano, the jockey, 7-5 in the morning line. This horse is off a pretty lengthy layoff. Certainly has done no wrong. 6 lifetime starts, 5 wins and a second, and is 2 for 2 at Keeneland. So rightfully, we'll get the be the prohibitive favorite in this race. But coming off a layoff, you don't know what you're going to get. This horse runs its race. It should be right there and probably will win. So let's make the 8-horse Dave Rushing Fall our second selection and our third and final selection, Dave. You know, I like to go back to the well on horses I've picked before. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick the 7-horse Capla Temptress, Bill Mott trains, Julian Le Perouse, the jockey, 8-1 in the morning line. This horse is fourth off a layoff. Le Perouse, looks like he fits this horse pretty well. Raced a nice second there on that soft turf course in the Lake Placid at Saratoga on the 18th of August. For me, the key thing here is the jockey switch to Le Perouse, who does extremely well, both at Keeneland and Churchill and, all the tracks in Kentucky, with a horse that I have made as a top two pick before. So let's put Capla Temptress, the 7, our third and final selection, Dave. So to summarize, Keeneland's 9th race on Saturday, our selections are going to be 1, 8, and 7.
And 2 of your selections are from Ireland, a little Irish. Yeah. All right, let's go over to Belmont. Belmont, these next two are just stakes races. So you've got 6 furlongs on the inner turf. This is the Floral Park. It's $100,000 for filly and mares, 3-year-olds and upward. Go ahead and give us your picks.
Yeah, so in this 8th race, Dave, at Belmont on Saturday, my top selection is going to be Lady Alexandra. The previously mentioned Graham Motion trains, Luis Saez the jockey, 5-2 in the morning line. This thing is second off a layoff. I circled the far outside post positions in that synthetic race at Presque Isle the last time out. And looked like he raced pretty close up early on and just kind of faded, probably, raced pretty wide, I would guess, based on the commentary here in the PPs. You can see a couple of triple digit buyer speed figures by this horse, a nice workout on the synthetic on October 6th. And we get a top turf trainer who does well in these kinds of situations. I love Luis Saez as a jockey, a hard trying. As talented as they come. So let's make the 3-horse, Dave, Lady Alexandra, our top selection in the 8th race here at Belmont. Our second selection is going to be the 6-horse, Tilly's Lily. Jonathan Thomas trains, Manny Franco, the jockey, 5-1 in the morning line. 5 lifetime starts, 4 wins, 1-for-1 on the Belmont turf course. Has a sub-12-second last eighth of a mile there on June 1st on a good turf track at Belmont. Yep. This trainer does extremely well with in turf sprints. 36% trainer in turf sprints, Dave. Pretty nice. Take a look at his stakes record. He's 35% in stakes races as well, and you get 5-1 on the morning line. So, let's make the 6-horse Tilly's Lily our second selection in this 8th race at Belmont on Saturday. And our third and final selection, Dave, is the 10-horse. The 10-horse is Lull. Christophe Clement trains, Joel Rosario, the jockey, 3-1 in the morning line. This horse is third off a layoff, has raced well at Belmont on the Belmont turf course, 3 starts, a win, a second, and a third. And this is another comebacker for me. I did have this horse on top in that race at Kentucky Downs the last time out. And so we're going to come back on a horse that I previously liked before with That's the 10 horse. The 10-horse Lull. Yep. So to summarize, Dave, the 8th race at Belmont on Saturday, our selections are going to be 3, 6, 10.
All right. Last race you handicap for this week is the 9th race at Belmont. Again, it's a stakes race. It's 1 mile on the turf. It's the Pebbles, $200,000 for filly 3-year-olds. Give us your picks.
Yep. So my top selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the 8-horse Victorine. Victorine is trained by Christophe Clement. Joel Rosario is the jockey. This horse is 6-1 in the morning line. Second North American start and Lasix for the first time. And Rosario is 25% riding for Clement. We get a nice morning line odds play here, Dave. Not bad. I'll take 6-1 right now if I could lock that in. So let's make the 8-horse, Dave, Victorine, our top selection in this 9th race at Belmont on Saturday. Our second selection, Dave, going to be the Four Horse. The Four Horse is Cool Beans. Brad Cox trains. Mike Luzzi is the jockey. 10-1 in the morning line. And you know what, Dave? This horse has got the speed. This with a jockey who I think fits these style of horses. Luzzi can get there and walk the dog on horses that have front end speed. It's interesting that Cox would put him up on this horse, but Coxie's not doing much wrong this year. 28% for overall for 2018. We get 10-1 on a horse that should show early speed. So let's make the Four Horse Cool Beans our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, is going to be the two horse Stella D. Camelot. Chad Brown trains. We get Eric Cancel's the jockey, 8-1 the morning line. We get a Chad Brown turf stakes horse on Lasix for the first time. This is a trainer change. So the guy that was training this horse over in France and Italy, is no longer training. They've moved this into Chad Brown's barn and brought this horse over to the U.S. And Chad is 26% when it's his horses are first under his tutelage, and he's really good with his first North American start horse is 21%, which is a nice percentage. So Let's make the two horse, Dave, Stella D. Camelot, our third and final selection in this ninth race at Belmont on Saturday. So to summarize, Dave, race 9, Belmont Saturday, our selections are 8, 4, and 2. Do we have a double here?
You read my mind. I was going to tell our listeners, yes, you have a daily double option here for the 8th and nice race for Belmont. So take advantage of that.
Hey, Dave, also you could tackle the Belmont Yonkers pick 4 if you're interested. If Sears is
Brian
driving,
Sears.
Anything at Yonkers, you could tie this one up.
Well, I'll have to take a look at that. Of course, Yonkers runs at night, so we'd probably long be home by then.
Yeah, I'll keep you interested all day and night.
Yeah, so okay. Yeah, half mile racing at Yonkers. Exactly. I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right. With that, let's wrap things up. Be sure you're visiting our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. You've got all the links. You know where to go. Take a look at our website. Any info that's on there is on there, and how to listen to us as well. On Twitter, make sure you're following us at Off the Charts HR. Any podcasting updates, race day changes, or other picks will be out there as well. If you have any questions, you want to send us an email, we have an email address, questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. And with that, any closing comments before we wrap this up?
No, Dave, we're about a month away from Breeders' Cup, so
I'll be here soon.
Start doing my homework on that. It's one of my big days. I always do well on Breeders' Cup weekend, so I'm going to start doing my reading and start to hone in on some horses. So very interested. Yep.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks for joining us. Good luck and good racing.